Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we are going to jump back into our series that we've been working on. And, I want to just give a little recap on why we're doing this series. It's entitled Power to Live Well, is this 8-part series we've been doing. And we're in session 7 today. This is the power to be grateful. And my hope in this series has really been to try to give you the most practical tools ever that every believer can use. And if you actually apply these biblical principles, you'll be able to live better today, tomorrow. I mean, like immediately. And when I say better, I mean like a significant increase in the quality of life. That's really what I'm talking about. And we started off in this series, and I think it was either first session or second. I talked about the majority of our life being lived in our brain, in our mind, will, and emotions. The majority of our existence isn't what happens exterior in our life or in our circumstances. It's what we think about when we go to bed at night. It's what we think about when we're driving. It's what we think about when somebody's talking to us. It's what we pray about. It's what's going on the inside. So if we want to have the best life possible, there's only a little bit that we can do to control our natural circumstances. But there's a whole lot we can do internally to actually wind up living better, living more free, living just with a more heart postured towards the Lord. And so each one of these sessions that we've been doing, I've been trying to give you a golden nugget that I promise you, if you will live these principles out, you'll actually take them and do them. And they're not difficult. They're not like complicated. They might be difficult in the, I'm not sure I really want to do that, but they're not complicated. And if you will do these things, you will increase the quality of your life exponentially, I promise you, because they're biblical principles. So with that, this session is entitled The Power to Be Grateful. And really what it's all about is Thanksgiving. Now, if some of you guys were around for the prayer room a few weeks ago, maybe, I don't know, a month ago or so, I did a session talking about Thanksgiving as a huge part of our prayer life. I want to come at this from a very different angle. I don't want to talk about Thanksgiving so much as a way to interact with the Lord, though it absolutely is that. I want to talk about it as a way to not feel bad. I want to talk about Thanksgiving as a way to control your emotions. I want to talk about Thanksgiving as a way that you can live with a grateful heart instead of a bitter heart, a sad heart, a jealous heart, a whatever heart. You have this control. You can do it. And I just know that it is a very normal thing for us to get bombarded with 100 negative emotions that we can totally reject. We can reject them and choose to embrace gratitude instead and then live better no matter how poopy life is. No matter what else is going on, we can live with a grateful heart. I want to give that to you. So if you turn it into a better, make your prayer life better, awesome. If you turn it into, you know, whatever else, that's great. I want to give it to you as a way to control your brain, as a way to impact your emotions so that you don't have to live the way that your day would maybe dictate, the way that your day would instruct or your circumstances would inform. I want to give you that. First off is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. If we can get that verse up there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I underlined give thanks in all circumstances because I want us to understand that Paul's objective here was not to get us to be thankful or to give thanks only in the 20% of life that's cool. The 20% of life that good things are happening. The 20% of life where it's your birthday or somebody thought of you or somebody did something nice or you had a good day. He says, give thanks in 100% of circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances because we have the power to choose that. I mean, Paul couldn't tell us to do something that is impossible for us to pull off. Like how completely ungodly, how unhelpful, how unapostolic. But this is an apostle in the New Testament trying to train Christians how to be Christians, trying to train believers how to walk with God, how to know him, how to feel his presence. He says, listen, I want to tell you God's will for your life is that you would find a way to be thankful and to give thanks, to say thankful words, for you to be in a posture of thanksgiving in all of your circumstances, good ones, neutral ones, bad ones, wherever you find yourself, whatever your circumstance, find a way to give thanks. In fact, if you'll do that, you'll walk out the will of God for your life. And Paul, with a lot of experience in this area, which we'll look a little of that in this session, but Paul, with lots of experience of doing this when in jail, when just gotten stoned, when being beaten, when being deprived of, you know, earthly pleasures, when having people abandon him, Paul, with a lot of experience on this, understood the secret power. You do not have to be a product of your circumstances. You can be a product of taking your thoughts, mind, will, and emotions captive and saying, I'm going to be grateful instead. And what happens is when you take the reins back and you now are, you know, ruling, you're driving the cart, if you will, the horse-drawn carriage, you've got the reins now, and those reins are gratitude, the cart will follow. Your life will follow when you begin to be grateful. So Paul lived a grateful life in prison, lived a grateful life in so many different circumstances. I don't want to talk about cool Paul. I want to talk about how I can do it. I don't want to have to be a victim of my circumstances. I can't control my circumstances, nor can you, but you can control your gratitude. And if you will live grateful, you will live powerfully. And that's the gift that I want to give you this morning. Now, I want to connect a couple of things here. This session is on gratitude and thanksgiving. The next session we're going to do, the last session in this series, is on praise. It's the power to praise. And these two are connected, but they're different because they accomplish different things, okay? I think praise has a whole lot to do with perspective, and I think thanksgiving has a whole lot to do with the control of your emotions. I think being intentional to be grateful shifts your emotional posture, and I think praise shifts your perspective, and we'll talk about those things that in the next session, but I just want to kind of connect that. Gaining authority over our emotions. We live in the most emotionally charged age that has ever been. And the reason I can say that with confidence is because of the power, the reach of social media, okay? One person has a really, really bad day on the other side of the world and tweets it, and it gets retweeted, and then this and that, and now it's viral. And because one person had a terrible day and were really loud about it and clever in their presentation, now hundreds of millions of people are mad. Oh my gosh, how did that happen? That's crazy. Same thing with some of the positive things and a measure of others. We feed off each other's emotions if we're not careful. And we live in an hour where we have access to more people's emotions and thoughts and perspectives than at any time in human history. And so we live in a very emotionally charged hour. And if we're not careful, we can go wherever others are going. Everything's terrible. Then all of a sudden we think everything's terrible. You know, we should all believe this. And all of a sudden we're going that route. It just, if we're not careful, if we don't take the reins back of our emotions, the hour in which we're living has those reins by default. We got to take them back. And we do that by gaining authority over our emotions. It's really not even gain. It's just taking the authority that's been given to us. I just want to tell you, I want to say it again. If you don't take that authority back, it already is in the hands of this hour. And you're going to just kind of go with the flow. And it's why there's more depressed people than ever before. It's why there's more violence than ever before. It's why there's more anger and aggression. Because we're just all caught up in the swirl, not recognizing, as believers, we got the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the power to give thanks in all circumstances. War, death, plague, difficulty, pain, all kinds of loss, financial loss, relational loss. You have the power to give thanks. And if you will take that power up, if you will grab those reins, you can have a good day instead of a bad day on the bad day. You have control over your emotions if you will exert that control because you have God living in you. Now, if you don't have God living in you, then you're on your own. And you got to figure out how to work all this out on your own. And you got to kind of like pep talk, positive think your way into a good day. But if you have God living in you, this is what God says his will for your life is. It's his will for your life on the bad day, the good day, the neutral day, the got fired day. It is God's will for you to give thanks. And if you will partner with God's will, he will lead your emotions into a different direction. He will lead you. And remember, the real you is the internal you, because you're going to get old and funny looking. And eventually this body will perish, but your soul will live forever. The real you is what's inside, okay? And so you have control over that through the Holy Spirit living in you. This is the best news ever in an hour of chaos. This is the best news ever in a very difficult, trying time of human history called your life. And so it's very good news. Well, what's happening when we do this is we're employing a powerful kingdom principle. I love that when we became a new creation, when we gave our life to Jesus, we became a new creation and we got a new rule book. We don't have to live by their rules anymore. We don't have to do things their way. We don't have to live the way that the lost world lives. We have now the Holy Spirit. We have God living inside us, empowering us to do different, think different, be different. Not, hey, you got to get with it, stupid. I'm talking about power to overcome what all the lost people have to still suffer through. What those that don't have hope, those that don't have Jesus living in them, that's not you. If you've given your life to the Lord, you've got God inside and the rules are different. Don't play by the lost person's rule book. Play by the redeemed. Play by the rule book of the redeemed by kingdom principles. If you do this, then this happens. If you do this, then this happens. This is the most awesome thing ever. We're a new creation with a new life, with new hope, with a new rule book. But we've got to actually apply the principles. So the kingdom principle here is that there is power if we are thankful. There is power if you will choose thanksgiving. There's power available to you. That's so incredibly good. And it makes sense that if it says God's will for us is to be thankful in all circumstances, if you find yourself in a circumstance not being thankful, doesn't it stand to reason that you're probably missing out? Doesn't it stand to reason that if God says you'll be blessed if you do it, that there's probably consequences if you don't? There's probably like negative stuff or at least good stuff that you missed out on. That's the case. So when we find ourselves living not thankful, just turn it off and go, I'm going to be thankful. The great news about the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God is because you're human, you're going to mess up. As soon as you realize you're messing up, stop. Like as soon as you realize I'm not being thankful. Oh, well, don't be condemned and like, well, I have to live now because I started today unthankful. I must then go through the rest of the day unthankful and the rest of the week and to punish myself month. Like just turn it off and just go, I'm going to be thankful right now. I just caught myself not being thankful. I'm now going to be thankful. And now all of a sudden in a moment, like a wind, you're now operating in a kingdom principle that quickly. You just went from darkness to light in 1 second. Here's what the word of God says. Colossians 3, Colossians 4, and Hebrews 12. These verses talk about what happens when we employ this powerful kingdom principle. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. This call to be thankful. The word of God giving us the instruction, believer, follower of Jesus, be thankful. Colossians 4, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There it is again. Believer, be thankful. Hebrews 12, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. A form of your acceptable Christianity is the measure of your gratitude. A form, it's not the entirety, but part of the way that you make your Christianity acceptable worship, part of the way that you make your life acceptable before God is you're thankful to him for saving your sorry tail. Is that you're grateful in your heart for what he's done and what he's doing. Look at it. Be thankful and so worship God acceptably. Be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. When we are thankful, we operate in a kingdom principle. When we are not thankful, we neglect it and then have to suffer the consequences like all the lost people. We are part of the kingdom of God. But being a part of the kingdom of God does not mean we experience 100% of the kingdom at all times, because God loves partnership. He loves to tell us, let me tell you this great idea. If you'll do it, you're going to be so blessed. Your life's going to be awesome. He loves that we would take him up on it and go, God just said something. I believe it's true. I'm going to now act like it's true and apply that truth to my life. Oh, it's true. I can't believe it. It's true. Look at that. God loves it when we partner with him. So he doesn't make every blessing in Christ yours in full experience every moment of your life. You've got to partner with these things. And the partnership here that we're talking about is gratitude. I want to talk about gaining power over our emotions. Can we just be real for a second here? It feels bad to feel bad. And it feels good to feel good. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? But it's like, I feel bad. How happy are you about feeling bad? I am not happy about feeling bad. That's because feeling bad feels bad. And feeling good, how good do you feel right now? I feel so good, it's great. How do you feel about that feeling? It feels great. Great. If you can choose, why choose bad? If you can choose which way to feel, if you can choose which road to go down, if you have control over that, why choose the wrong way? Sometimes our circumstances are so difficult, it feels like we don't have a choice. We do. It's called gratitude. Gratitude will lead your emotions out of that pit. Gratitude will lead you out of that. Just a couple of verses out of Proverbs, just simple life reality stuff. Proverbs 15 and Proverbs 17. Look at these verses. A happy heart makes a cheerful face. Gotta love Solomon and his profound wisdom. A happy heart makes a cheerful face, but heartache crushes the spirit. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. This is just kind of me just saying this, or Solomon saying really what I was saying a minute ago, and that is bad and good is good. Like to feel bad, it crushes you. You feel depressed, you feel crushed inside. You're going to feel dried up and weary and aching. But the antidote here is a happy heart. It's a cheerful heart, a cheerful, glad heart. It's good medicine. It's cheerful on your face. It makes others glad. Now, I recognize you can't in a moment turn the switch. Like if you were in like having the greatest day ever, it's your birthday and you just won the lottery and your best friend, you know, moved from, you know, three states away to be your next door neighbor all the same day. You're having a really good day, right? You can't in that moment go, now have a bad day. And then all of a sudden just go bad. Like you can't just control that in a moment. And it doesn't work the other way either. You're having a really bad day. Everything's terrible. Best friend moved. They took back your lottery ticket. You know, you found out you really weren't born on that day. I mean, you find out all that all at once, okay? And it's like, oh, such a bad day. You can't in a moment go, now I'm going to be happy. And just turn the happy card on. That's not real. You have very real emotions. What I want to tell you is you have power over those emotions. And if you will choose gratitude, gratitude will lead you out of that. And remember, it's God's will for you that you live grateful. I want to tell you, it's actually God's will for you that mostly you live with a glad heart. Mostly. That you mostly have a glad heart. That's the will of God for your life, but it requires that gratitude. Joy is released when we thank him. I just want to read a couple of verses here. Isaiah 51, Colossians 1. Look at these verses and what they talk about related to the frequency in the scripture of connecting the ideas working in tandem. The choice to rejoice and what then happens when we do. When we are grateful, when we choose gratitude, we choose thanksgiving, the joy that accompanies it. Okay, these two are connected ideas. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Colossians 1, giving joyful thanks to the Father. There are so many verses. I didn't want to bombard you with 50, but I was so excited as I was reading these verses. Just go do a little Google search or a Bible Gateway search on the word joy and thanks and see how many verses have both of those words in the same verse. And the combination, the connection point, I'm telling you, when we choose to give thanks, our heart engages in joy. Now, typically, here's what happens when we're playing the emotional game, all right? We start to feel really bad, mad, sad, depressed, jealous, whatever, anxious. We start feeling something negative. And somehow, we let the enemy convince us staying sad is better than giving gratitude right now. And it sounds so crazy in a sober moment, but in the moment where we're like in the pain, it sounds so reasonable. Yeah, sad is better. Mad is better. Jealousy is better. This is all sin. Like we don't, anger is better. Contemplating their great harm is better. Like we listen to the enemy who's trying to keep us feeling all knotted up and yucky and angry and pained. Don't take control. Lead your own emotions out. Express thanksgiving and your heart will follow in joy. I'll just tell you, on the day where the worst thing happens to you and the person does the meanest thing to you, I don't look forward to that day at any level. But I sure don't look forward to that day and then living in pain all day and the next day and the week after and then being mean to people around me because I'm in pain. We don't have to. You can choose gratitude. You can choose it every single time. It's God's will for you that you would give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say necessarily about all circumstances. I am so thankful that person just ran into my car. Wow. Thank you. Sure didn't need that bumper. Hated that thing. I'm not talking about being thankful necessarily for every little thing. Try to find silver linings. But you can still be thankful in every single thing. And that's where the power comes. Because we have the choice. When we walk with a thankful heart, this is just another emotional connection point. There's been a lot of conversation around our church and at the prayer room about the impact that we have on one another. Being thankful, being a family, that we're going someplace together and not just as an individual. Do you know that when you're filled with thanksgiving, you make positive emotional impact on those around you? And when you're filled with whatever turdly other emotion, you make negative impact on those around you? Now, I mean, if any of you are like, I'm just in a turd kind of mood, I'm in a turd kind of season, we will bear with you. We will love you all the way through it. Don't leave. But I just want to let you know you have control. And you're like, the impact that you have when you are grateful is profound on those around you. You can actually increase the water level of gratitude in others by you yourself being thankful, by you having a grateful heart. That's so powerful. Like we can like emulate or not emulate. We can, I don't know, just put out. I don't know what word I'm looking for. Just ooze. We can allow the positive strength of thanksgiving to impact other people. Who doesn't want to be around a thankful person? Like who doesn't want to be around a chipper person that's always got grateful lips? They're always just filled with thanksgiving to the Lord. They've always got kind words to say. Who doesn't want to be around that person? It makes positive impact on your friend, your small group, your family, your church. It makes positive impact. We have power over our emotions, and it even goes beyond your own emotions. You can choose thanksgiving and wind up impacting those around you to want to be more thanksgiving. And when they're more thanksgiving, then it comes back to you, and you want to be more thanksgiving. And it's God's will for you. God's will for you is to be thankful all the time. So if we can learn how to help our neighbor be thankful, that's really good for the kingdom. And heaven looks at it and kind of gives a wink like, you're doing it. You're expanding that kingdom principle that I told you about called gratitude. You're pushing it forward in your life and the lives of those around you. That's awesome. Keep doing it. The Lord loves it. We were created to experience God's joy. Look at this verse in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. Talking about being imitators. Being imitators of us and of the Lord, and I just want to focus on that. Being imitators of the Lord, you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering. You were in the midst of severe suffering, but you welcomed the message with the joy given you by the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, you have access to joy, not because you're smart, not because you're a joyful person. You have access to joy because of the joy that the Holy Spirit gives you in salvation. That's what the context of this verse is. He's talking about, that Paul's talking about, we came to Thessalonica and you were a bunch of lost people. And when we came, you received the message of salvation with great joy. And that great joy was not because you were so cool or because Thessalonica is really the party town. You received that message, the message of salvation, you received it with great joy because joy was given you by the Holy Spirit. You have access to joy. on the bad day, on the sad day, on the lost day, you have access to joy, and it's God's desire that we would experience joy, lots and lots and lots of it. How much non-joy do you think is happening around the throne right now? How much non-joy? The joy is of such a high caliber, and it's the governmental center of the universe. The most joyous room in all of existence is God's throne room. It's filled with joy. That's God is a glad-hearted God. God is filled with joy. He wants you to have joy. He gave you him inside of you so that that could then be the source of your joy. You have access to it. God desperately wants you to operate in it. Now, out of that, I want to tell you that there is something powerful. I want to get now a little bit more specific, a little bit more detailed. I've just been telling you you've got access. Now, I want to try to start giving you some practical tools, okay? Some ways to adjust your thinking. Some things to start doing or stop doing in order to usher in gratitude at a greater level, okay? The first one I want to give you is you need to learn how to be content. Let's put that verse up there. 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, what is this contentment? What are you talking about, Paul? Content because everything's awesome, and so I've reached a level of security in life. I've reached a level of influence. I've reached a level of business that I feel comfortable with. What are you talking about? Be content about what? You brought nothing into the world, and when you leave, you're not taking any of it with you. If you have food and clothing, if you ate and you ain't naked, be content with that. Be content with the absolute most bare bones reality. I have bare minimum clothing. I'm not naked, but just one degree more than that. I didn't eat a lot today, but I had enough that I'm not going to die. And I've got God living in me. What else do you need? Be content with that. Listen, I want to tell you, some of you've got to get control of your covetous emotions. I understand it. I feel it too. I'm doing the best I can to crucify those. Constantly wanting more. I want that experience. I want that. I want those things in my life. I want this bigger this and more of that. I want more of these. We have this covetousness. We are constantly wanting what we don't have. And Paul says that you'll die. Interior, in your internal self, you will die because you're constantly chasing after things. Be content, be godly, love Jesus, and be content that you're not naked and that you ate. Be content. There is great gain. Paul says great gain. I'll say it this way, great power. There is great power for you to learn to be content with what you have. And if you're like, I'm not content, then that's a great place to start admitting that to the Lord and asking him for help. Help me to be content with what I have. Help me not constantly be striving for more. This is the Bible. Paul understood the power of how to live godly, the power of how to live well. And a significant component of this was, he goes, if I have a lot or if I have nothing, if I'm in jail, if I'm, on the road doing traveling ministry, if I'm with everybody that I know and love, if I'm not, I've learned to be content that I'm not naked, I've got a little food in my belly, and I have God, most importantly. I have God. I have God. Lots of people don't have God. They're going to die and go to hell and never, ever experience joy ever, ever again. I have God, and I'm also not naked, and I ate today. This was Paul's, life goals, okay? You want a life goals for 2019? Don't be naked. Eat a little something, and have God. And then learn that that's all you need. That's all you need. Everything else fades. He says, you brought nothing into the world, and you're not going to take anything with it, so it really doesn't matter what you amass. That's going to be taken away and burned or stolen by an Antichrist regime. You're not going to get to keep any of that stuff. You do, however, get to keep God. Live a godly life. Have a God-focused life. God will take care of your absolute most bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. And whatever you have, in addition to that, is gravy. But don't put your hope in your stuff. You're this, you're that, don't put it there. Put it in the fact that you have God. And if you'll learn to live content, you will fend off so many negative emotions, so many bad days. And at the end of this, I just want to tell you, all of us are going to stand before the Lord. It says every one of us is going to stand before the Lord and give an account of our life. Every word, every thought, everything. I don't want to stand before him and have to give a long list of all the things that I was longing for, that I was discontent about, and God go, wasn't I enough? Why were you longing for many things? This one thing matters. This one thing matters. Like, he just wants us to have him and be content with that. We usher in joy through Thanksgiving, so we need to be intentional about it. Now, I'm going to give you a few enemies of joy. I already touched on covetousness, but I'm going to give you a few more here. Enemies of joy, Galatians 5, 22 through 26. You guys know the fruit of the Spirit, but then look at the fruit of the flesh. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I cut it off there. You know there's six more. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, however, have crucified the flesh. The flesh's passions and the flesh's desires. Those who are in Christ, we've crucified the flesh. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What does it look like to keep in step with the Spirit? Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Provoking, causing, you know, divisions and rifts and being difficult. Envying each other. I really want that guy's stuff. I really want that girl's life position. I really want this. I really want that. Don't keep doing that. You live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Don't get out of step with the Spirit by envying. Don't get out of step with the Spirit by longing for these things that are not even what you're supposed to have. I want to tell you that you can catch yourself. You may not be able to keep yourself from ever having a thought, ever feeling an emotion, ever finding yourself longing. You may not be able to keep yourself from ever having those initial moments, but you can catch yourself. 1 second in, 1 minute in, 1 day in, catch yourself. Catch yourself feeling discontent with what God has given you. I don't want it. Catch yourself. God, I'm sorry. Thank you for this, 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 and this in my life. Catch yourself. Next, catch yourself longing for what you don't have. Sometimes I'm on social media and I'm looking around at other things and I'm like, turning it off. Just putting that back in the pocket because there's so many things out there that I could find myself longing for that I don't have and going, I want that, I want, and I start to feel it and I catch myself. I go, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm turning that off. And I don't just mean the post. I mean the posture, the mind, the emotions. I'm not going to go that route anymore. I'm not going to just turn the social media off and keep thinking about it. I want that. I'm going to stop thinking about it. Catch yourself. Catch yourself striving for more. I'll just tell you this. If contentment is great gain, and contentment means, look what I have. It's awesome. Striving is the exact polar opposite. Striving is, I don't have this thing, and I will do everything within my physical power to get that thing. I'll work more. I'll do this. I'll beg, cheat, and steal. I will get that thing. I will strive to get it. God doesn't want us striving. He wants us content. You know, all the emotional energy that's invested in striving, God actually wanted you investing in loving. He just wants you to love him. You could use that same energy. You've only got so much energy. You're going to do something with it. He wants you to use that energy, not striving for stuff you don't have. He wants you striving for him. I want more of you. I want your spirit. I want to use this reach and this longing and this ache to know you and have you more. Catch yourself envying others. Catch yourself envying what others have. Catch yourself and stop. Listen, another one of those social media gifts that we've been given is being able to see into everybody else's living room and what they have and what you don't. Everybody else's church, what they have and what you don't. Everybody else's personal life, what they have and what you don't. Catch yourself envying and stop it. I just want to say it kindly. Envy is sin, like lust or murder. Envy is not okay. It's not excusable. But we've so built it into our culture. We live in such a consumerism-driven culture that consumerism actually is all about envying and longing for that which we do not have. And we're so embedded in it, we've dismissed envy as not a sin. We just call it, oh, you know, I just want that thing. Careful. Because a lot of that I just want is actually envying that which you don't have, envying that other person and what they've got and what you don't. Catch yourself and stop it. If you don't, you're going to have to live with the consequences of being discontent. And remember, contentment is great gain. Discontentment is great pain. You will have to live with the consequences of discontentment. And that those consequences, you can't start walking down a road God doesn't want you on and wind up where God wants you. Like, you keep taking steps down that road, you're going to keep getting further and further away from God's purpose for your life, for his joy for your life, for the things that he wants to do in your life. Be content. Learn to be content. Thank him all day long. Thank him for saving you. Thank him for the relationship that you have with him. You get to know God. You get to know the most popular, coolest, most dynamic person that has ever been. You get to be in a deep relationship. Thank him for it. Thank him for all the benefits of being God's. Thank you for being God's child, friend, member of his household, priest. Thank him for all the benefits of belonging to God. Thank him for those things. Thank him for all that he's done. You know how many things he's done in your life? Give thanks for all the things he's done in your life. Give thanks for all the things he's provided for you that he didn't have to. There ain't one of you in this room that only has not naked and one bite of food to be thankful for today. You've all got a whole lot more than that. He's provided incredibly, abundantly. Thank him for what he's provided. Thank you for all the people that he's put in your life. People are the greatest gift, the greatest treasure. If our circumstances are bad and our friendships are rich, is it really that bad? The opposite. You've got everything and your relationships are horrible. Do you have anything? Thank him for the people in your life. They are the richest gifts. Because it's not just a person, it's a person with God in there. So you even get more God. Like, the relationships that we have, they're powerful. Thank him for the times he's protected you, for all the things he's shown you in the word, in life, in your relationships, in your own soul. Thank him for those points of revelation, for those moments of illumination. Thank him. Thank him all day. Put up this verse. We're going to skip quite a bit of the verses there. I want to ahead. It's Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. The way that we're to live our life, just kind of in general, the way that we're to, you know, Romans 12 says that our spiritual act of worship is our life. Like, our worship is actually our whole existence until we don't anymore in this era. The Lord's desire for us in our life is to live a life of worship, and specifically that Psalm 100 verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. The heart posture of our life, of every day, kind of the filter for our life, is thanksgiving. It's not just when you come to a worship service, it's when you get up in the morning. It's not just in those moments where you're trying to be really intentional, it's all day long. You are before God. Where can you go from his presence where he is not there? All day long, you are before God. All day long, it's God's will for you to be thankful. All day long, come to him with thanksgiving. Come before him with thanksgiving as your heart posture. On your way to the thing, on your way home from the thing, in the middle of the conversation, for the thing that you just got, for the circumstance you were just saved from. Be thankful all day long. Thank him in all circumstances. First Corinthians 1:4. I thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. This is Paul. And he's writing to the church. I think this is so fun. The church in the New Testament, Paul had to rebuke the hardest. He says, I thank God for you all the time. So Paul, even about those that he's really having to come down on, and he's really having to rebuke in a significant way, he says, I am thanking God for you. Thank God in the midst of every circumstance. The good ones, the bad ones, thank him. Ephesians 5 tells us, Ephesians 5, 3 through 4, tells us that we're to fill our conversation with thanksgiving. Now, when you fill your conversation with thanksgiving, it does a couple of things. One, it builds others up. And two, it allows you to talk about what God has done in your life. Look at this verse, Ephesians 5. Among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, not even a hint of it, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed. These are improper for God's holy people. There shouldn't be obscenity, or foolish talk, or coarse joking. These are out of place. You know what there should be in your midst? Thanksgiving. Now, this is Paul actually talking not about a person talking to God directly only. He's saying when you're talking, when you're interacting with people, your mouth should be filled with thanksgiving. It shouldn't be filled with coarse jokes. It shouldn't be filled with immorality. It shouldn't be filled with this or this or this. Your conversation should be filled with thanksgiving. Now, I'll just tell you, I kind of think it's cheesy. This is just me. I kind of think it's cheesy when people, like, you say, you know, how are you doing? And they're like, blessed and highly favored. Like, I don't get that because it's not specific. They're like, blessed and highly favored. Like, I think you just, like, trained yourself to say neat Christian words. Like, if you said, I said, how are you doing today? And you go, I am so good. Do you see that bird out there? It's got colors. I love color birds. Them birds are pretty. Like, you're thanking God for the bird. Okay, I can get on board with that. How are you doing today? I am awesome. Why? Because we're about to have fajitas for lunch. I am so thankful for fajitas. Blessed and highly favored really doesn't do it for me. Specific thanksgiving. I am thankful to God for dot, dot, dot. I'm thankful to God for my life, for my wife, for no strife. I'm thankful to God for something. I'm thankful to God for specifics. When you share specifics, you actually empower those around you to be thankful for that same thing. When you share general, I think a lot of people are probably like me. They just kind of hear fluff words. When you are thankful for specifics, you empower people to also be thankful for that same thing. It moves on your emotions. I just want to tell you, fill your conversation with thanksgiving. Last one I want to put on here is I just want to address anxiety. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. This is Paul who knows humans, huh? Paul goes, I know your tendency is to be anxious about the money, be anxious about that relationship thing, be anxious about what's happening in that circumstance, be anxious about that news report, be anxious about, I don't know, bird flu, whatever. I know you have reasons to be anxious. I want to tell you, confront anxiety and tell it no in Jesus' name. Confront anxiety, it will own you. Your life can be marked by anxiety instead of by gratitude. God wants your life to be marked by gratitude and joy, but if you're not careful, it can be marked by something else. He says, do not be anxious about diddly squat. It doesn't matter, fill in the blank, do not be anxious about it. But instead, in every situation, by prayer and petition, talk to God about it with thanksgiving. Present your request to God and trust him. Here's my hope. I'm hoping you heard this message this morning and that you walk out of here going, I am absolutely going to make great effort to be grateful and to rebuke emotions that aren't in alignment with gratitude. It is God's will for you in Christ that you give thanks in all circumstances, not so that you can be a good Christian, so you can feel good. God's will for you in Christ is you would give thanksgiving at all times so that your heart posture can receive more from God, so that you can live better, so that you can be in a better mood. God desires for you to experience the kingdom of God, and you can't do that unless you're living out gratitude.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.